Well, good morning, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Elliot Callan, CEO of Prosperity Financial Group. I would like to welcome you to another episode, exciting episode today, of Meet the Expert. Today, we are with Lori Barkman. Lori is a specialist in selling your business, transitioning your business, moving your business to the next level, whatever that is. We're going to talk about that, what that is. So this is really an episode designed primarily for people that own companies or people who want to transition family businesses, or people who know people that want to go to the next level with their business. So you can pass this along at the same time. So Lori, well, let me welcome you.
Thank you, Elliot. It's great to be with you.
Great to have you here. And let me just tell you that why we're talking to somebody in a business transition industry is because we help people from our end, business owners, with their money. That's what we do. We can talk to them emotionally. We can deal with that. There are huge emotional upheavals when it comes to transitioning your business, and we'll talk about that because they get taken for granted of or ignored, and they're just enormous. And so we'll be talking about that. But why don't you start talking about a little bit about Lori, what you do. She's in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We're in California. She's one of the foremost authorities in the country. So at the end, we'll give you the ability to reach out to her. And I see you've got a book there called Business Transition Handbook, which is a great business for everybody. Again, great book if you're looking to sell your company, because it doesn't happen in the last 6 months of your company. It really takes more time. So, Lori, what is the Sherpa that you do? How do you really help people?
The business transition Sherpa, it's a journey that entrepreneurs are on. And the journey starts when you launch your business, buy your business, transfer your business is transferred to you, and you're on this journey until you stop. And that when you stop is obviously up to you. And everyone's story is different. But what I find so interesting is working with business owners on that journey and supporting them as a guide. And that's why I use the phrase of business transition Sherpa. And transition is a movement. It's a movement from here to there. It's not a moment in time. You didn't build your business on your own. And so why sell or transition your business on your own? And that's my ethos for being a business transition and mergers and acquisitions advisor, is working with companies in the lower middle market as that advisor, as somebody just to help you get all these swirling questions out of your head, articulated out loud, and then finding answers. And finding answers on that journey, on your transition journey, is really my mission.
You know, I watched a lawyer, a good, very close person to me, who specializes in the transaction paperwork associated with the transaction. And we were on vacation together, and he was working with a business owner, and he was tearing his hair out that all the consistent and constant mistakes the business owner was making in the process, that he was trying to help the business owner, and the business owner kept cutting himself off at his own ankles along the process. Thinking, well, I just want out, and this company that buys me, they seem honest. I'll just do whatever they say. What's wrong with that philosophy?
Well, step one, don't sign anything that you don't you're not going to commit to, right? So, if it's a non-disclosure agreement, do you need your attorney to review it? Well, probably not. Let's just have a sense of reality here. But don't sign a letter of intent or an offer for your business. Don't sign it unless you have legal review, and certainly don't sign a purchase agreement unless you have legal review. That'll be like my caveat. The other thing on that would be until you have a non-disclosure signed, don't share confidential information, especially if it's with a competitor. So there's lots of ways you could cut yourself off at the knees in a negotiation if you start to reveal too much information too soon, if you're not protected on sharing confidential information. There's tons of pitfalls.
So when somebody's thinking about the next step in their life, I mean, they've built their business up, they've got it going to the point, they're now maybe reaching a part of their life that they're saying, okay, it's time for me to move on, walk away into the sunset. This is an emotionally, unbelievably disturbing time in them because that's their baby. They're getting rid of their baby. How does this work emotionally, Lori?
Very emotional. Especially if you're the founder, you might feel your identity is very tied in with your business, or if your family name is on the door and you feel very proud about your heritage with the company, you're proud about the familial organization that's been built and the wealth that maybe have been created over generations. and you can walk down the street and people know your name. That feels awesome. Well, what happens when that goes away? What happens to that feeling and your identity? And I think there's a fear about that. And we fear what we don't know. We fear the uncomfortable. And so what happens? We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to work on it. And then the more we're not doing the proactive work, all of a sudden, when the time happens, you can't work on your exit plan when you're exiting. That's not a good time.
When should they start their exit plan?
Your business ideally should be ready to sell any day. That's ideal. And what does that mean? It means that you've got a really well-run business where your financials are in order, processes are well-documented, you have a team of people that are accountable, that you're able to delegate to, and that the business in and of itself can thrive without the owner. If we have a business that can't do that because the owner is the primary salesperson driving more than 40% of revenue, or they are the main crux behind product or service delivery, and the company will fall apart without them, then that represents risk to a potential buyer or to a transfer of ownership. That represents risk. And so the main thing to have a really healthy business that could be bought at any time, that's the concepts behind it, that there's transferability, attractiveness, and risk mitigation that we're balancing at any given time. There's lots of different reasons that companies have more value than their peers. We can take two companies, Company A and Company B, that are in the same industry, same revenue, but they'll have two different valuations. And there's good reasons for that. And that's what we try to help business owners understand, is that when time is on your side, you can make changes and impact value. But when you're out of time, you tend to be out of options. So how much time do you need? Well, ideally, you're giving yourself 5, 7 years, 10. If you're at 10 years, you're being really proactive, and that's amazing. But I see most commonly 5 to 7 is what I would say should be the minimum. But in practicality, it's probably more like 1 to 3, which is not a lot of time.
So most business owners, what you just said, Lori, is they do it, I'm going to make it even 6 months. They just wake up one morning, that's it. I'm packaging my business and selling it, and I want to be done. Today's the month of August. I want to be done by January 1st.
Yeah.
And that's
fortunately, because of the education and the outreach that I'm doing, I am talking to more people who say, I understand your premise. I buy into it, and I want you to help us. And I say, okay, well, what do you think roughly your timeline is? And they say, well, we would like to truly be out in 7 years. And I say, okay, well, let's back that up. If you're going to stay with the acquirer for maybe a year, 2 years, 3 years, we have to take those years out. So let's say now our maybe we're at 3 years, and it takes us a year to get ready. And there's, in some cases, more than one owner. So now we've got lots of decision-making here, and that takes time. So, oh my goodness, we need to list the company next year, because the process of sale could take a year. All of a sudden, we're really close to that 3-year mark. If we need to sell in three years so they can retire in 5, we got to start now. And I've been having that conversation more and more, and people understand, oh my goodness, we don't know enough about what we don't know, and we got to start working on this.
You know, Lori, we advise people all the time in our conversations of having good hobbies as you begin to enter your 60s or late 50s, because you've been working a lot. And sometimes business owners, their hobby is their job. Yes, they've been there for being dad or mom and some soccer games and things like that, but every free moment they were thinking about work or working, and sometimes even on vacation, they're working. Today, we bring our laptop, our cell phone. We're available 24/7. I could be in the south of France and doing this podcast with you. I'm working all the time, and I am. And people in my office know that. And I think I'm a very typical business owner. And so what happens when people like me enter retirement and the only hobby we have is work?
Well, unfortunately for many, it's not a good situation. There was a Harvard Business Review article that I read recently. It was initially published in 2015, and it was a study done on at that time, the data was largely around white males in their retirement, and the statistics around suicide and death by suicide for males over age 65, particularly in this segment of people when they've retired from a corporate business, was fairly high. And the gist of the conversation, the gist of the article is, if we can develop things before we retire, what does retirement really mean anyway? I was asked to contribute to a Yahoo Finance article on the hashtag never retire. And the journalist had reached out about this opportunity. And the question she was posing was, okay, so hashtag never retire. Why is that trending? What does it mean? Is it good or bad? And I answered it from my perspective of being an M&A advisor. And the way I thought about it was, look, it can be good or it cannot be, right? There's always a balanced view. And we are seeing more and more business owners holding on to their businesses longer than we would have expected in the baby boomer segment. We were expecting this giant tsunami of baby boomer business owners selling over the last 10 years, and that rate has slowed. And I don't know for sure, I haven't seen any data on it, but I suspect that there's a financial reason for that, but then there's probably also this other reason and that we're talking about, which is there's a hesitation to move on from what we already know, what we're comfortable with, and what we find very tied into our identity. Separating that can be very lonely, and it can be very challenging.
I go, Lori, to these conferences all the time. I'm economic conferences, investment conferences. I'm shocked. I've been doing this now for 30 years. So you might say I'm seasoned. I got a white beard. I look like I'm seasoned, all that stuff. And I'm amazed by how many people are in their late 70s and 80s at these conferences from my industry. And I think, oh my goodness, you have nothing to do in your life. This is it. Now, some of them play golf, and they go once or twice to play golf. They might go to Florida for the winter or Arizona and do some, you know, snowbird thing, something like that. But in reality, this is their life, and they can't see themselves any other way. So you're in that business. You are advising the transition. You're helping them maybe even find a buyer, if that's the case, or finding somebody who can help find them a buyer if they want to do that. What are you saying to them at that point when they say, you know, I don't know what I would do?
Well, it's why in my book, The Business Transition Handbook, chapter very early in the book is talking about transition mindset, what roles we play today, what relationships we have, what's important to us, and what we might think about if we were not working in our business day to day, what roles might we want to have? And it's an opportunity to think about how you might spend your time differently. With some of my clients, they say, I want to focus on health and wellness. I've pushed it to the back burner for too many years, and I want to be able to focus on that. For others, it's travel and meaningful experiences with their spouse. One person said, our travel has always been to these things and they're amazing, but we always do the same thing. I want some adventure. I want to have adventure with my wife. And I thought that was really sweet. Another client of mine is very, his church and the mission of the church, very important to him. And they give to that cause consistently already, and he's not retired, but he wants to take that to the next level in his retirement and get more involved in the church and communities that he serves. And so everybody's perspective on that is different, you know, but it's important to have a balance. And it's so hard as a business owner, where, like you said, for yourself, how many hours a week are you working? And when you do take a vacation, are you actually, you know, turning off the phone and not checking email? And it is tricky because we are trying to make sure that the train stays on the tracks. But at the same time, isn't it one of life's ironies that when we have the time, we don't always use it the way we would like to? And when we get later in life, we might not have the health it's time and money trade-offs when we're younger, right? And as we get older and maybe we have more money, it could start to be other things. So if we can find things that we really enjoy in our life and take that with us as we go into whatever retirement means to you. Retirement is one of those words that for some means I just want to go to the beach, or I just want to travel, and I don't. For others, it's I want to start another company. I'm involved with an organization. It's a nonprofit organization. It's called the Center for Ageless Entrepreneurship. And what we started to see in COVID was a huge spike in new companies being formed by people over 55. Now, maybe they are lifestyle businesses, consulting, practice, it's just one person, what have you. But there was a very interesting trend happening where people were leaving their corporate jobs and they were going to do something different. And there's a growing segment of entrepreneurs who are over age 50. There's a historical thing, you know, to look back and, you know, McDonald's and other companies founded when that person was not in their 20s. It wasn't a tech entrepreneur, but they were experienced people that just decided to leverage their skills in a new way. So to me, retirement might mean, okay, you're leaving behind what you had done in the past, but that doesn't mean you just need to sit home alone and watch television for the next 20 years. There's a lot of skills that you have. How can it be leveraged? Organizations like SCORE, it's a mentoring organization. There's no charge to the mentee, but it's a wonderful way for business executives to give back. And there's lots of other advisory organizations that probably need support or taking up real estate. I mean, there's an infinite number of ways that you might, quote unquote, retire, but not retire. So that's my encouragement for people.
Well, those are great, great, great tips for people in retirement. And we handle their money, so I can appreciate that. Here's one of the issues that we talk to people about, and I'm sure you come across it as well, and that is charity. And some people are charitable by nature, whether it be their church or synagogue or something else, but they're going to come into some money, hopefully, by selling their business. And they're going to have a chunk that they can donate or leverage with life insurance, irrevocable trust or annuity, gifting, and so forth and so on. Is that a conversation worth having with business owners?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the conversation with business owners is on different dimensions. There's the value building and growth side of the business. We should baseline what your business value is today. We should come up with an understanding of what your financial goal is, your target, and if we have a gap, and how many years do we have to close that gap? Can we double the value of your business in 5 years? Is that something that you want to do? Or do you say, you know, I'm going to ride it out. It is what it is. The value creation side is really important, as well as the business continuity side of this. And I think that that's where your question starts to lean in on is, okay, as we think about tax mitigation strategies for once we sell, well, what are tax mitigation strategies before the sale also? And if you and your family have come up with a mission around giving and causes that you care about, and you want to create a donor advised fund, you can do that before you retire. You don't have to wait till, you know, you've sold the business if you have the funds for that. And there are other mechanisms for giving that you might set up in your estate plan, as you mentioned. But I think it's smart to take a holistic view and try to look at for the business and for your giving strategy, the legacy that you want to leave, you know, what's important to you for your employees, what's important to you for these causes. And one of my clients is considering an ESOP because he feels very strongly about his employees and the culture that they've built. And they annually give a percent of their profits to the charities that they've designated. And he wants to maintain that in the future for the company, even if he's not the owner. And so there's mechanisms also to explore, whether as a company or as an individual, CRUTS, and I can't remember exactly what it stands for, but it's like charitable, restricted, something, trust, if people are familiar with that. But anyway, I'm sure you'll find it and put it in the show notes.
The CRUTS.
Yeah. So again, there's lots of mechanisms for how to do it. But I think the most important thing is just to be on the same page with your family. It's a great opportunity as a family to align on this mission of this giving side. So it's spend, live, give, right? Is what you, what's the, from a, as you manage your money, right? In day to day, we are maybe setting aside a percentage and every year and at the end of the year, you know, whatever those checks that we write. But big picture, if your family is fortunate to have an opportunity to set up a foundation, to set up something that really gives in perpetuity, it's so powerful.
So Lori, I see you've got a book behind you. Tell us about it.
The Business Transition Handbook. It was a culmination of many things. It's my experience over 25 years. I served as CEO of a division of a privately held company, a third generation company that sold to a Fortune 50. And seeing from the inside, you know, that pretty significant mergers and acquisitions process, going through the integration and on the other side, going into private equity, I learned that I'm a deal junkie and I like being on both sides of this table and how can I serve entrepreneurs? And so that's how I got my start in working in this field was about 5-6 years ago. And the practice of exit planning is so complex. There's so many moving pieces and parts. When I launched my podcast, which is called Succession Stories about 3 years ago, little did I know that, you know, all this time later, I'd have 120 episodes of this amazing content, these amazing stories from successful entrepreneurs who have gone through transition and the trials and tribulations of that. And I thought, wow, what's a way to get this message out in a larger way? And why not put this in a book? So I call it the handbook for a reason. I want you to write in it. I want you to dog ear the pages. I want you to keep post-it notes on it so that it's useful to you. And every chapter is a pitfall to avoid. So the subtitle being how to avoid succession pitfalls and create valuable exit options. And so every chapter is a pitfall. So as you read it, you're learning something. But then there's also some stories that I've included as excerpts from the show or things from my experience with clients. And it ends with takeaways and what's your plan? What's your intention? And every chapter, I'm trying to hold you accountable to that. I've even created a PDF that people can download from my website. It's a digital toolkit as an accompaniment to the book. So if you get the Kindle, you can't write in it. Yeah. So I thought, well, for the Kindle people out there or just anyone, I took all the exercises from the book and I put them in a special document that people can get for free on my website. And I hope that they use it. I hope that they write in it and they use it actionably. And it's like having this virtual guide, the Lori Barkman Sherpa, guiding you through your journey. And it's meant for business owners who are in this zone of 5 to 10 years away. But I've gotten some amazing feedback from, call it the less tenured entrepreneurs who are reading it. And on the growth and value creation side, they love it because they're understanding what will drive more value in their business a longer term. So it's getting great reviews. I'd be so honored if people take a look at it. I've written it for you and help you avoid these very common transition pitfalls.
So we've been talking with Lori Barkman of the Transition Sherpa, the Business Transition Sherpa is the name of her entity. Lori, how do people reach you?
They can go to the businesstransitionsherpa.com and reach out to me there. They can also connect with me on LinkedIn. And my email, if they want to email me directly, is lbarkman@smalldotbig.com.
Great. Smalldotbig.com.
Small.big.com.
Thank you for being here, Lori. We've been talking about the business transition, how this works with business owners. We know realistically, some people, they want to sell it. It's August. They want to be done by January. That's not a good plan. You really want to take 2 years at least and work this out. Some people take 5. People that are really preoccupied, it might even take 10 and say, my goal is in 2023 to be out, and they've got a business plan. The more time you give it, the more time you have to adjust to it, to build for it, to build up the value of the company, to understand what you're doing. We handle the money of it. Lori does the M&A and all this great advice on that. It's just fabulous why I work with people like Lori around the United States, because your money and your life and this transition is probably the single biggest change that you will make forever. And we want to make sure that we're doing it right and doing it on time and doing it smartly. That's very important that we do it smartly. So this has been fabulous. If people need to reach me, I'm at Elliot, E-L-L-I-O-T, at prosperityfinancialgroup.com. The website is prosperityfinancialgroup.com. And the phone number is 925-314-8503. I have to make a shameless plug. If you haven't gone to Amazon yet, that's now a number one bestseller on Amazon, Driven by Elliot Callan. It's about leadership and entrepreneurship. And by the way, I'm what I consider, and Lori and I have talked about this before, I think a very typical entrepreneur. This is my third set of entities that I've started from scratch. And I've got three of them right now. And as a business owner, some people think, you know, they look at the Wall Street Journal, they think, well, why isn't my company, why isn't my life like Mark Zuckerberg? You know, he starts in college and boom, he's got a straight line going up. And why isn't it somebody else, Bill Gates, and started in his 20s and now he's got Microsoft? The reality for most entrepreneurs is that the life and your business is a series of zigzags, sometimes straight, sometimes backwards, sometimes down, and sometimes strikingly up. But you want to be prepared for all of them and the emotional toil, not just the financial toil, but the emotional toil that you are going to experience here. And that's why people like Lori and myself meet with you and get to know you and work with you on the emotional level. So Lori, thanks so much for being here.
Elliot, thanks so much for having me.
And have a great day, everybody. We'll see you soon.